This morning we talked about the coming of the Lord. And the question for this evening is, are you prepared for that coming? Are you prepared? If you go to Kentucky, maybe you've been to this place, there is a very large boat that has been built. It's the largest freestanding timber frame structure in the world. And it's a full replica of Noah's Ark there in Kentucky. And as we know, the history, that there was a time when the whole world was covered with water, this global flood. And there was this boat that floated on the surface, saving a family of eight and animals, two by two. Now, this ministry Answers in Genesis have an incredible ministry, a work in many ways warning people of another kind of destruction to come. And that will be when the Lord returns and destroys the world with fire. That's the coming day of the Lord. So the question for us today is, or this evening is, are you ready? Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord in that day? At times when I drive by weddings, I am reminded of what's described as that day, as a, in many ways an ordinary day, where people will be getting married. People will be eating and drinking, as we read in Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39. For in the days before the flood, people then were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. It was very ordinary. Up to that day. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. It will be very ordinary. People getting married on the very day that the Lord will return. Are we prepared? Are we prepared for his return? This morning we looked at the implications of the resurrection and even the implications of the bringing about this final resurrection on the last day, that on that day we will be changed, that we have the victory over death, and that we can abound in the work of the Lord. And I refer to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to the end. And speaking of the coming of the Lord and how on that day we can be comforted because there will be some who are still alive and those who have slept in Jesus in the grave, all will be raised and will meet with the Lord in the air on that day. That is the comfort that we have for that day. Now in chapter 5, Paul continues to speak of the coming of the Lord, and he's addressing the times and seasons of his coming. Look at verse 1. Now, concerning the times and seasons, brothers, he says, you have no need to have anything written to you, because they already knew some of the signs of these times and seasons. But the question that he wants to address here is when the day of the Lord will be and how he will come. Now, he doesn't give a day or time, because we know the scriptures are very clear that no one knows the day or the time that the Lord will return. Throughout history, there are date setters, people who have tried to predict the day. I'll give you some examples. The exact time of his return, C.T. Russell, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, he predicted the return of Jesus in 1874, 1914, and 1975. Can you imagine there are still Jehovah's Witnesses who don't know probably their history of false prophets? Herbert Armstrong, the founder of the Worldwide Church, also predicting the return of the Lord. Seventh-day Adventists, many of those leaders, also false prophets. Harold Camping, do you remember Harold Camping, Family Radio? He predicted the coming of the Lord at 6 p.m., May 21st, 2011. And when it didn't happen, he went into damage control, and he claimed the event that just passed was spiritual, and the actual event would come 5 months later. That was 2011. So we always have people who are going to try to choose the time, the exact time of the Lord's return. But we don't have that in Scripture. What we do have are exhortations to prepare ourselves for any time that the Lord returns. Not to be deceived by anyone who does predict the hour, because angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father knows. But what did the believers in Thessalonica already know? It says here, "For you yourselves," in verse 2, "are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." That's how the Lord will come, like a thief. In which way, like a thief? Well, we will see. Because on that day, we need to recognize how we are to prepare ourselves. If it's going to be sudden like that, like a thief, how are we going to prepare ourselves for that when it will be unexpected? And so verses 3 to 11, Paul lays out how we must prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord. So no matter what the time or the date, day or night, whether we're alive or in the grave, the coming of the Lord will come at a time unexpected. So how do we prepare ourselves? First of all, we stay awake. Stay awake. Stay awake. Let us not be surprised at the sudden day of the Lord. Stay awake. That's the first way we prepare. Now, this coming of the Lord will be the last day in human history. That'll be the last. When the Lord comes, he will come to judge the earth, and that's when he will judge all the living and the dead. And in verse 9, it says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath." So those who are expecting the Lord's return, they're not expecting judgment upon them and destruction. They're expecting him to come to save them because they're hoping in him. So they will not be surprised because they're eagerly waiting for him. Now, not knowing the exact day, and yet still waiting expectantly. Now, we also know that on that day in verse 3, it says, people will be saying, "There is peace and security." This is what the world is going to be saying. No, there's peace and security in the world. Everything is fine. No worries. That's what it will be like. But on that day, when people are still saying this, the Lord will come suddenly. And what is it described as? It's described as the mother with child suddenly having labor pains coming upon her. That's the unannounced sudden arrival of the Lord. So the media will be announcing, maybe on the radio, "We have peace in our land, we have peace in our world today, there's safety, security," and yet he will come on that day, unannounced, surprising all except for those who are waiting for him. And it will come suddenly. I don't know, mothers, you understand this, as husbands don't. The labor pains come and it comes upon you. You don't expect it, but it comes. And yet that will be the way it is when the Lord comes. Unexpected, surprising, and suddenly. Now in verse 4, it says, in contrast, those who are not expecting him, they are those who are in darkness. "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief." Those who are in darkness, those who are not awaiting him, are surprised when he comes unannounced. Are we ready? Are we ready for that time? Anticipating what we would say in Scripture is the imminent return of the Lord, because he can come at any time. This is 2,000 years later, and yet we still have the imminent return of the Lord when he is to come, to be ready for him. But if you think of the days of Noah, all the world was not expecting any of this destruction to come. They continued on with their regular business, their regular life. Only Noah and his family were expecting that any day the heavens would open and the rains would come and flood the earth. And it's for those who are living in darkness. And again, it's contrast with those who are children of the light in verse 5. For you, who are expectant of the Lord's return, are children of the light, children of the day, not of the night or of the darkness. You see the contrast between those who live in this darkness and those who live in the light. Those who live in the day, those who live in the night. So we prepare ourselves recognizing that we are of the day, we are of the light when He comes. When He comes suddenly and come with readiness. Now, when we see the second way in which we prepare ourselves for the day of the Lord as sons of the light, we see that in verses 5 to 8 is by being self-controlled. Self-controlled as the sons of light. Paul's confidence in the Thessalonians was that they would not be surprised when the Lord would come. When the Lord would come as a thief in the night, as though He was a thief in the night, surprising all. Because they were children of the light, children of the day, they did not belong to the night and darkness. They actually belonged to the Lord and the night. They had been transferred from that dominion of darkness into the dominion of the light, of the sun. So there's a conversion from night to day, from darkness to light. And we think of here in verse 6 and 7, it speaks of those who sleep. So then let us not sleep as others do. Let us stay awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Those who are not expecting the Lord's return are those who are living in the night. Those who are getting drunk at night. This is their lifestyle. I have a friend. He's with the Lord now, but in university, we both were translated out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light within about a week span of each other. And so we began our journey of walking the light together, and we were encouraging one another in our walk with the Lord, and we were growing in the Lord, and yet he was tempted one night, and he went out to the bars, and he got drunk. And I challenged him afterwards, reminding of who he is. He is a child of the light, of the day. And that's not who we are if we're continuing to live as though we are in the night, in the darkness, going back. We are children of the light. That's where we belong. And so, that means being self-controlled. It means being awake, being alert, living in the day, in the light. And what it means also in verse 8, it says, because we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. So we're putting on this armor and then putting on this helmet of salvation, this hope of salvation. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks of this armor. And so it's breastplate of righteousness now by faith, it's love, and this hope of salvation, which is the helmet that we put on. These are virtues, faith, love, hope, that we put on as children of the light. And we do so ensuring that we are prepared. Luke chapter 21, if you just listen here, and these exhortations from Jesus to watch yourselves. He says, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. See, there's when life is weighed down by these things, then there it becomes a trap. When that day comes, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, certainly speaking of the coming of the Son of Man and His judgment on Jerusalem at that time, in the years to come, but then also speaking of the Son of Man coming on the last day. Those who are awake, those who are sober, those who are alert will be able to stand when the Son of Man comes, to be able to stand. It will not come as a trap. Think of what sin does. It weighs us down. Self-indulging ourselves or letting the cares of this life weighing us down does not prepare us for His coming. We're no longer alert, self-control, standing. We're not dressed in this armor, faith, love, hope. We're not prepared. We will be prepared when we remember who we are. We're standing as children of the light, children of the day. When the Son of Man comes, He will recognize us as one of His. We belong to Him. We are those, it says in verse 10, those who are Jesus. We've obtained salvation, verse 9, it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. This is the one we are awaiting, the one who died for us, the one in whom we have obtained salvation. So we stay awake. We are self-controlled. And the final way to prepare ourselves in verse 11 is by encouraging, being encouraging. Be encouraging. Let us encourage and build one another up as we live with the Lord. Be encouraging. Again, Jesus, it says here, died for us. And what for what purpose? Whether we're awake or whether we're asleep, is that we might live with Him. We cannot live with Him unless, remember, He's a living Savior. We obtain salvation from Him because He is alive. He's been risen from the dead. We're only living with Him because He has made us alive with Him. We were united with Him, so we also are alive in Him. So whether we are awake or asleep. Now, it may be a little bit confusing when you see the word sleep in verse 7 and also in verse 6. And here it says the word asleep. Now, those who sleep are those who are in darkness, those who are of the night. But here, those who are asleep are those who have been laid to rest in the grave, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those who are sleeping in Jesus. So there is a difference there. Those who will still be alive at the coming of the Lord. Those who are awake then, and those who are asleep in the grave. So there too, we live all live together with the Lord. Now, again, the children of light, the children of the day, are not destined for wrath, as it says in verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain this salvation. And that is why in chapter 4, Paul is encouraging the believers and comforting them that when the day of the Lord comes, that He will come for those who are awake and those who are asleep, those who are living, those who have died, and they will meet with the Lord in the air. It will be salvation for them. It will not, their destiny is not destruction, but it is salvation for them. It will be, we will be all together with the Lord, meeting with Him in the air. So whether living in Christ awake, dead in Christ sleeping, or asleep, we'll always be with the Lord. And so we encourage one another. This is the encouragement that we have. This is the comfort that we have in the coming of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, this is the exhortation, this encouragement. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting the meeting of ourselves together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see what? The day drawing near. That day of the Lord drawing near, all the more we encourage one another. We need encouragement, don't we? We often get discouraged. We often get weighed down by the cares of this life. We need to encourage one another, to build each other up. Therefore, he says in verse 11, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. They were doing that, and he's saying, do it more and more and more, just as we need to hear these words, not to neglect the means of encouraging one another. If we're not doing that, people are going to isolate themselves. They will find other ways to self-medicate. They're going to find other ways to find comfort and encouragement. And it might be this distraction or that distraction, but it is going to be discouraging and causing them to greater sorrow and depression. So, all the more to encourage one another, to build each other up, so that we would not be those who are walking as many are in this haze. They're just wanting always to be running after one thing after another, and they've lost this alertness, this sobriety, this self-control. And they have lost sight that Jesus is returning and preparing themselves for that. So all the more to encourage one another, to build each other up. And how do we do that? It's not going to be through platitudes or trite advice. We need the Word of God on our lips to build each other up. And we have words right here that we can use to remind one another. Four truths. The first is reminding one another of our place. If you're a child of the light of the day, you are no longer in darkness. That's not your place. You are in the light. Now, our identity, number two, is that you are, in your identity, a child of the light of the day. So therefore, if you're in the light, you are alert. You are self-controlled. You are also having a duty. Third, because you belong to the day, so we put on what? We have to do this work of putting on faith, putting on love as a breastplate, putting on this helmet, which is the hope of salvation. We do that. And finally, we have to know our destiny. That God has not appointed us to this wrath, but to salvation. That's where we are going, to obtain this full salvation. So we encourage one another, building each other up in our place, our identity, our duty, and our destiny. Now, Paul is clearly here speaking to believers. This letter is to believers. But he's also giving a warning to unbelievers. There are still people here who are sleeping. They're in the night. They are those who are of darkness. Even coming to church, having the appearance of being in the day, in the light, and yet are not awake. They're not ready for the return of the Lord. It will come as a surprise when he comes. Suddenly as it comes, they'll not be ready. And they will not escape the anger of that judgment that we read, of his wrath. So how do you prepare yourself if you're not ready? How do you prepare? You repent of that sin. Renounce that darkness, and you return to the Lord. Receive this salvation. You receive it as you can obtain it. You can obtain that salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will be joined with all who are eagerly expecting, eagerly awaiting his return. Those who are still alive when he returns, and those who are sleeping in Jesus. So until he comes, how will we always be ready for his return? By living with him, awake, alert, self-controlled, sober, putting on this faith, this love, this hope. And so think of the week ahead for you. Think of the clouds as you see them, these beautiful clouds that are coming out in the springtime. Maybe the Lord is coming on the clouds. Are you ready for him at any time? He may be coming. The Lord alone knows the time, and yet we have these words 2,000 years later for us today, saying, be alert, awake for his coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have this word reminding us that you are coming again. And just as the people in the day of Noah were ridiculing him for, it seems, 120 years that he was building that ship, that boat, and yet the time came when it began to rain, and then it was too late. Lord, we pray that there will be none here who would be saying, I will wait for another day, but that today would be a day of salvation that they would obtain and lay hold of Jesus Christ in this salvation. Father, we pray that we will be a people who are awake, alert, ready for your coming, eagerly expecting you to come in the clouds and to receive you as our Savior. So may you bless, Father, your people with this very heart that we've been speaking of, a heart that is prepared for your coming. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.